and start with, you know, where are we going to start, right? When we have this person that we want to help, you want to start with assessment and education strategies. And again, we're using the word assessment and education strategies. As I was trained, we used diagnosis and treatment strategies, right? So we're doing assessment and education strategies, okay? Same idea if you're coming from a medical model, you're a nurse or a doctor, nurse practitioner, whatever. This is basically the diagnosis and treatment, but we don't do diagnosis and treatment. We really don't. And I'm not a big fan of diagnosis, just for the record. I think that it puts people in boxes. And then when we put people in boxes in terms of what we say is wrong with them, we kind of try to put them into boxes as to what to do. And I know that that's a medical mentality and a mentality I'm trying to get all of you guys away from. And I do see it in some of the posts that I see. What should I do for? A person has XYZ, what do I do? And I want you to get away from that mentality of thinking. Somebody has IBS, what do I do? Somebody has this. Well, what you do is what you do for everything is you do a really detailed, thorough history to figure out what do those symptoms really mean. Because a lot of times people have been given a diagnosis. IBS, for example, is a wastebasket diagnosis as far as I'm concerned. It's like, we don't know what the heck else is wrong with you. This is how you're presenting. You have some diarrhea. Sometimes you might have constipation too. It might be alternating. And we don't see any clinical or physical evidence of something like inflammatory bowel disease. There's no structural things going wrong. So let's just call it IBS. And so when you take on the diagnosis that they've come in with, you're putting your own thinking powers in a box. And we want you to think outside the box because, quite frankly, the symptoms of IBS are very vague and generic and could be a lot of things. It could be intestinal dysbiosis, it could be leaky gut, it could be food intolerances, it could be SIBO. I mean, there's so many things that it could be that are going wrong. So your job is to sit with that person and really get to know them, get to know what their pattern is, what are their discomforts, what are their eating habits, what are their medications, what are all the things about them that will play into you understanding not the diagnosis, not to give it a label, but to be able to know the process that's going on. And I will say that within the modules, the 17 or so modules that we have in there, yeah, we talk about strategies for particular conditions because that's the world we live in. But realistically, when you go into those pieces, you'll see that I talk about how it presents and all the various ways that you can approach it. I've given you some quote-unquote done-for-you protocols, and it's just basically so you have a cheat sheet that says, okay, what does it mean, IBS, inflammatory bowel disease, dysbiosis, etc.? What do those mean? How are they going to present, and what are all the options? But you'll notice that I don't say, here's the four herbs that you give for this condition, and here are the doses. It's more, here's the places to look, okay? And doses are so dependent on the person, too. So thank you for being here. And I just want to make sure, like usual, I get this part out of the way, that we're not talking about medical care. We're not talking diagnosis and treatment. Unless you are licensed to do that and are sitting across from your client face to face in that therapeutic relationship, what we're doing is assessment and evaluation and looking for the roadblocks, looking for the obstacles that are keeping that person from reaching their full potential, and then helping them with a plan and educating them and giving them tools and resources so that they can remove those obstacles and move forward. And some of the cases you get are going to be really straightforward, like, you know, those cigarettes and the McDonald's and a lot of the other things that are going on could really be having a little impact. And other times you're going to have someone who has an impeccable diet and has been working on this for years, like one of the cases we're going to do today. And then you're going to sit there scratching your head, and that's when you're going to be really glad that you're here studying with me here, because we're going deep. We're helping you to go deep so that when the stuff you think is going to work doesn't, that you have some pathways and some ways of looking at it that might be different and may come up with something very useful for that person. All right, so we're going to look at If we were to do a full functional assessment on folks, what would we be doing? Well, it's what I call the ninja history taking and interview skills, that really like finely tuned, ideal, like getting to the heart of it history. Not the history type things that maybe you get when you go into to see the HMO doc and you've got 9 minutes and they have to quickly get at like big questions to rule out, are you dying? Really? Are you infectious? You know, that sort of thing. Now we want to get to the heart of their habits and their dental history and various things. Now, you're not going to do a complete history on every single person that walks in the door unless it's warranted, but you're going to pick up clues. You're going to ask them about their teeth. Because sometimes some imbalances they may be presenting with are related to their teeth. And if you don't ask them about it and you don't find out that they've had 4 root canals in the last 6 months, then you're not going to even think about that when that could be at the heart of why they're presenting. So we do this with questionnaires and surveys we've given you within the program. There's a whole bunch of them that you can use as is. You can take them and we've given you them in Word Docs, so you can take them and take a few questions here and there and create your own. So we've got that for you. And initially, you're just going to want to start with what I've got there, but you may be saying, huh, she didn't ask about this question. I like to ask this question. Or, I'm a colon therapist, so I'm going to ask a couple of other questions about their history with colonics, that sort of thing. It should explore all aspects of their health, their diet, their environment, their habits, exposure, stresses, and past history. But the thing is, if you were to just sit with them face to face and ask them all these questions, you would be sitting with them for hours. Now, in some cases, it's warranted because you've got someone who has more money than time and they don't want to sit and answer the questions. Maybe they're older, maybe they have debilitation with their vision for whatever reason. And I've worked with people like that. But you sign them up for a high-end program, which includes a lot of time with you, so you can do that. So you can spend 3 hours with them and be reimbursed. A lot of us, because we come from the heart, we sit down with them and, oh, they can't fill out the form, so let me ask them the questions. And then you spend 3 hours with them and you charge them for an hour. And that's the stuff I want to get you away from. Because what we need in this world are thriving holistic practitioners who can continue to do the work and don't have to go back to a day job to support themselves because they're giving away their time for charity. There's no reason you can't give some time away for charity, but you have to meet your own needs first. And I am invested in you guys being the best you can be and making a good living doing it and helping tremendous numbers of people. And the more people that you can get that are paying you properly for your time, the more openings you have to be able to do pro bono work. So keep that in mind. I do that. I have people who I don't charge or don't charge very much for what I give them. So that it's accessible. But the only way I can do that is because I do have the programs to bring in the revenue to support that. Years ago, I didn't, and I wasn't making a living doing this. So I'm just sharing with you from my experience. So have forms that they can fill out. And I've given you a sample. Michelle had her person fill that form out, and it was very helpful. And those are on the website. So diet diaries are essential. You know, I hear people say, well, I just ask them what they eat, and they say they eat a good diet. They eat lots of fruits and veggies, and they don't eat gluten. I've had people say that. And then I look at their diet diary, and there's bread and there's other sources of gluten, both hidden and obvious. But they say, but I only do that twice a week. I don't really do that anymore. You know, I used to do it 3 times a day. So I really like to have them do diet analysis, especially when you're dealing with the digestive tract. And then I like to have, before they come to a session with me, I like them to fill out a session form that tells me what's up for them. Like, how did they do from last time till this time? And what's up for them? What do they want to focus on? We're looking for nutritional deficiency physical clues. Now, this might be hard if you're working with people on the phone, but you can do Skype. You can look for the things like dark circles under their eyes. You can look at their fingernails for signs of zinc deficiency or protein deficiency. You can look for a lot of these things. We don't take the time to go through all of those in this program because we have in the digestive part, those of you in NEPT have access to this. We have a, I don't know, 12-hour whole section on physical assessment and questionnaires and history so that you get the idea of all these different places. But, you know, always look those kinds of things up and you just think about what are we looking for? And then there's other things like traditional Eastern body diagnosis, looking at tongues, looking at the ears, the feet, you know, points, tender points. And we've given you a little bit of that in one of the modules when we looked at the ileocecal valve at some of the points there. So again, that would be beyond the scope of this class to go into more depth on that, but you may already have that in your bag of tricks that you can use. And there's ways to enhance that, one of which is to join us for the full NEPT program. Blood chemistry analysis, like that's a very complicated subject, which we do address in NEPT. But for the digestive system, there are a few markers, and I'll show you those later with one of the cases. And then functional lab tests, in particular for the digestive tract, we're looking at stool, obviously, because that's part of the digestive excretions, but also urine, in that we can look at the organic acid test and see markers in the blood for some of the toxins that are produced by out-of-balance organisms. So a full functional assessment, you do it to the best of your ability, you do the pieces you can do, and I always start with the history and ask them about the physical signs. Do you have white spots on your nails? Do you have broken skin in different places? Do you have particular points that are tender, etc. So that's super important for you to start out with. And when you're coming to a call with me to present a case, it's really important that you ask the questions. And I want you to learn how to ask the questions because I'm going to, and you may not have the answers, and then we're not going to get really far in helping you to solve a particular case. So, what are some of the components of a thorough history? Well, demographics and general information are obviously a 47-year-old female presented with is much different than a 19-year-old male. Are they an athlete? Are they somebody who does desk job? What kind of work do they do? What kind of environment do they live in? What's their age, their weight, their height, all that kind of stuff? It's really important because if you say to me, I have a client who has this particular set of conditions, I want to know how old they are, what's their lifestyle, how's their weight and height. Because that's a big piece of it. So that's really important, and don't overlook the importance of that. All of that stuff is stuff you can get on a questionnaire. You don't have to sit down and ask them how much do you weigh and what's, you know, that kind of stuff. You want to know what their health goals are. Because I got in trouble with this a few times where somebody'd come in and they'd present with all this stuff, and I'm just going off on it. I'm assuming that they just want to be vibrant and they want to fix everything. And sometimes they just want that pain to go away. And you got to address that pain point first. Whereas a lot of times we're not going to address the symptom, we're going to address the underlying imbalance. But sometimes you have to address the symptom to get their attention. So maybe you're giving them some, you know, antispasmodic herbs to start with while you're looking for the cause of the irritable bowel, that sort of thing. So get in touch with what their goals are, but also what their goals are for their life. Because when they start to say, well, I don't want to get rid of that. I love my chocolate pudding pie with, you know, whipped cream on top. Do I really have to get rid of that to get my gut working well? You know, you can go back to, well, I know you love that, but what you told me initially was that what you really miss is being able to move around and you'd love to be able to spend time with your grandchildren. And you're not going to get to do that as long as you have these debilitating conditions in your body. So which do you love more? Your chocolate pudding pie with Cool Whip on top, or that vision of you being vibrant again and being able to do all the things you love? So it helps you in keeping them motivated because this big picture of how we help our clients and patients is more than just knowing biochemical pathways and what labs to do and to tell them what's wrong and tell them what to do. Sure, there's a whole subset of them that will do what you tell them to do because they're motivated. Then there's the subset where you're constantly having to help motivate and inspire them, and it's all part of the job. So you really want to look at what are they exposed to, what medications they're on, you know, if they live near high wires, if they've just had their house painted. All of these things can play into the symptoms that they're experiencing in their gut. do they have mold toxicity? Do they live in a moldy environment? There's so many things that play in. So it's important to get this stuff. And the form that you have an example of in the packet of the case history intakes shows you all that. And you have access to that on the site. Past history, right? Do they have a history of antibiotic use in the past? Do they used to have strep throat every year and they've been on antibiotics practically their whole life? Birth control pills. So many things affect the gut. And we go through that in the assessments part of the module. Organ and gland scorecards. You'll see in one of the cases today where Michelle had her client fill out all of those scorecards for the digestion. And I'm going to share with you how you take that and how you can organize that to kind of get at where the top priorities are for this person. Are they foolproof? No. They're a bit subjective and they depend on the person being really observant, but it's a clue. And what we're doing is we're being detectives and gathering clues. Nutrient evaluation scorecards. We gave you access to those as well. And that's where you can look at what nutrients are off, because it's a two-way street. If the digestion's impaired, the nutrient absorption and digestion is impaired, and they're going to have low levels of certain nutrients in their system, especially the harder to absorb ones like minerals and protein. And then you're also looking at nutrient deficiencies that could cause digestive issues. For example, just as a review, zinc is super important in helping the body to make hydrochloric stomach acid so that you can digest protein and minerals. But if you don't have enough stomach acid, you can't really absorb the zinc. So we have to look at supplementing with zinc for a while in a very easy to absorb, preferably ionic way or some way that person will take. The journals and tracking forms, we've already talked about that, but I like that. I have people do the food mood poop journal, right? So you're keeping track of their bowel movements, how they feel, their symptoms, and what they're eating. And then this last one is probably a surprise one for you, but it's a ready and willing assessment. I actually have a form that you can use, but most people don't use the form, but you use the form as a guideline for asking the question. Is this person ready to make diet and lifestyle changes? Because frankly, we don't have any magic bullets that people can just take if they're not willing to make diet and lifestyle and attitude changes. So you really want to assess and be willing to say to somebody, you know, I really want to help you and I know I can. I know that there's some things that we can do together that could really support you and your health, but I'm not sure you're ready. You know, let's talk about this. And maybe you need to go back and really think about this and prioritize this and come back when you're ready. When you say that to someone, number one, you get respect because they know you're not just trying to take their money and help them and, you know, try to help them. But they also, it gets them thinking like, well, what, do I really want this? And wait a minute, I really do want this. And then you get to the point where they're convincing you, please take me on. I promise I'll do everything. So it's a really good thing to be doing, is to really ask the questions that are going to assess, you know, how willing are you to make diet and lifestyle changes? How compliant will you be with taking supplements? What, you know, what's your willingness? What's your ability to pay for this even, you know, because good food costs money. Anyway, those are the ways that I like to do a thorough history, and you'll pick and choose what's appropriate for that person in front of you. I've given you this, and we're going to go through this later as part of the case. This is how I like to take some of those assessments that they've done for the various components of the digestive tract with the scorecards, which you've all seen if you've been through the modules. And I like to chart them and keep track of them and prioritize things. And then I like to, based on what's showing up here, like say, you know, large intestine shows up as, you know, the big one, the one that has the highest score, highest priority, they're complaining of constipation, etc. We can go through some of these there. These are some of our tools that are listed on the left. The gut rejuvenator, so that's, you know, drinking water first thing in the morning to start up the tract, green drinks, pre-meal ritual, chewing calm, removing the gut hurting foods, elimination diet, adding the gut healing foods, HCL challenge, bitters, enzymes, gut-soothing herbs, mucilaginous, antispasmodics, carminatives, candida cleanse, leaky gut, liver gallbladder cleanse, probiotics, probiotics, prebiotics, and cholagogues. So all of these are things that you have at your disposal. All of them have been described in the various modules in detail. And so you can almost use this as a cheat sheet and go across the top and say, okay, large intestine is this person's biggie. Large intestine, okay, let's go down. What is, all of them are going to be useful. The most useful is going to be antispasmodic herbs usually. Okay, let's just pick something else. Let's just say that shows that they have low stomach acid. Everything's going to be helpful, but it might be most helpful to be looking at HCL challenge, bitters, enzymes, and cholagogues, because cholagogues are liver herbs that also support and can increase stomach acid. So you could just use this as a guideline as to like where to start. I think everybody needs to start with pre-meal ritual. That's good for everybody. Everybody should start with that. Make sure they're eating right. Their eating hygiene is correct, or else nothing's going to go where it needs to go. If they're not chewing their food, they're not going to be extracting the nutrients from it. They're not going to be feeding their good bacteria. So we start with that for everybody pretty much, but there's some things that are more important for particular areas and contraindicated for certain areas. Like, you're not going to do an HCL challenge in somebody who shows signs of excess stomach acid. You're not going to be doing probiotics necessarily, or not just general probiotics, in somebody who's showing signs of SIBO. So this is a very useful chart. It took me hours to put together and think through, and I hope that you find it useful. It's something that once you've done this assessment for somebody, you can say, okay, I don't know where to start. There's so many things. You know, start with the pre-meal ritual stuff and then pick the other things that are going to be most important for this person. Okay. So to help you put all this together, there are teaching tools and done-for-you tools on the system. Obviously, you all get access to the Grand Program on the Vibrant Living members site. And if you haven't been through that with us live, or you haven't been through it at all, I would highly recommend that you take yourself through that program module by module, because what you'll do is see how I'm doing it with clients, how I'm taking them through a step-by-step progression. You may do it a little bit differently, but at least you have something as an example. And there's lots of, you know, worksheets and various tools in there. You are not permitted to copy and use my recipe books and my checklist straight from that program, not at this point anyway, but you are welcome to model after that. Once you've graduated and gotten certified, we will have an ability for you to license the use of my materials and then be able to offer, say, the whole program or parts of the program to your clients. There's also a whole little section that I put together on food allergies, which you have access to in the teaching tools section. Not sure if it's open yet, but it should be. If it's not, we'll make sure that it gets open. There's a few modules that haven't been open yet. Part of it is because we're backed up on the admin side, and we finished modules, but they just haven't been proofed and edited and put all up. And then the other is there's two modules that I'm still like slaving over, because they're such great modules and I keep adding more stuff. So I should just say enough's enough at some point soon. And that's the endocrinology of appetite and the endocrinology of the digestive tract. There's just so much there, and I'm trying to bring it down to the stuff that's most important for you to understand. You've got the digestion and assessment scorecards. I've given you them in PDF and doc format. Those you are welcome to use as long as you follow the guidelines that are on the page, which basically says, hey, you can either use them as is and just give them the PDF version of that form, which still has all my copyright information and all on it. You're welcome to do that. Totally fine. Or you can use the doc format of it, and you can modify it. You can put your own logo on it, as long as you use the give, you know, credit back to me, which we give you the wording. You can use some variation of that wording that's on the site on the Done For You page. There's digestion protocols. There's both PDF and doc, so that you can take that. And if you're trying to educate somebody about reflux, for example, and what they're going to do. You can take that protocol and you can edit it, take out the stuff that maybe is too technical for them. You can add the specifics in there. You can say, here's where I want you to start. I want you to start with, you know, this much DGL or this kind of slippery elm tea, and you can edit them. But so you at least have a starting point. The reason I did this way is that over the years, I've taken various courses and whatnot. And many years ago, I took a course. It was similar to this. It cost a bunch of money back then. You know, we had coaching calls, or it wasn't calls, we had in person, because it was before the internet and all this stuff was made easier. And we got this set of materials that this doctor had put together, and it was a lot of different protocols. And they were like, some of them were like, I wouldn't want to use it that way. I'd want to use it this way. I'd want to change it. But I never got that access. I only got the PDF files. So we're giving you this stuff so that you can actually, you know, kind of make it your own, customize it, put your own logos on it, as long as you just say this was adapted from and you give credit to me. So that's all available for you. Okay, so there's a question. I'm going to go to the chat and see what kind of questions we have. Laura says, I have had a client that is not ready and had to have that talk with her. And that's good that you did, and good that you realized it before you get too far with it. Oh, okay. So this chart you guys are looking for, this is on, it's actually on the Grand. I'm not sure where it is in CMDS, but if you don't find it in CMDS, I'd have to look to see exactly where Stacy put it. Probably that's in the assessments module. If you don't, it's there as a PDF. It's not there as an Excel sheet, and you can use it and print it out. If you go to Grand Part 1 of the assessments, you'll see it there, or putting it all together. On the break, we'll look to see exactly where it is online, and we'll give you a link to it. Oh, so this one. Yeah, this is the same thing. I think it's a document that says putting it all together. It might even be in the program guide for Grand. I'll look for it and let you know exactly where it is. Yeah. And we'll show you how to fill it in later. I filled it in for your client, Michelle.